From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. In about a week, a program known as Freedom Honor Flight will be making its seventh trip. Mostly World War II veterans will hop on a plane traveling from La Crosse to Washington, D.C. to visit monuments that honor military veterans. I had a chance this week to learn more about the experience from Freedom Honor Flight President Chuck Hansen, and also from Bob Skemp of La Crosse, a World War II veteran who took the trip last fall. Bob talks about his experience during World War II.
I was 18 in 1945, actually. And as you know, the war was over in 1945. So by the time I got actually into service, the war was over. But I was drafted, so that made me a World War II vet. And I was in for 22 months. I never got overseas, so pretty much here in the States. It was a great experience, a very maturing experience, I think, for an 18-year-old to be thrown in with all kinds of people. And I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it. Enjoyed the discipline of it and felt I learned a lot.
So let's fast forward maybe more than half a century later. Here in La Crosse and throughout the country, there's programs known as the National Honor Flight Network. And here in the Cooley region, we have the Freedom Honor Flight. And I understand we're in the third year of the Freedom Honor Flight. Chuck Hansen, as president, can you talk about why it was important to get veterans like Bob Skemp to Washington, D.C. to see the World War II Memorial?
The World War II Memorial was actually completed in 2004, which was about 60 years after the war ended. And that meant that for a lot of these veterans, they frankly didn't have the health to travel or the money to travel to Washington to experience the memorial. And so it was felt that because of the sacrifice of the Greatest Generation and what that meant to our country, that an effort should really be made to bring those veterans to Washington, D.C. Actually, this started in 2004, 2005 in Ohio. And it's a fascinating story about how a Captain Morse, who was with the Air Force, he was a physician's assistant. He got out and was working with the VA. And his older patients would come in, and he'd ask them about this memorial. And were they planning to go? And without exception, they would say, we just can't because of health, or I don't feel I can travel by myself, or don't have the money. Well, he was a private pilot. And one day he said, I'm going to see if they want to go. And he asked one veteran to come with him. And they flew to Virginia from Ohio, and then they drove into Washington, D.C. And it was a marvelous experience, both for the veteran and for Earl Morris. So he did it a second time and had the same experience. Then he began telling his Aero Club about it. And so they began flying veterans. And the word began to spread that it was possible. And then the demand began to become significant. And then they began looking at, you know, buying tickets on airplanes and ultimately chartering airplanes because of the logistics that are involved. And that was the groundswell that started it. So this had been going on for a couple of years before it came to La Crosse, and I was involved with helping to bring it to Wisconsin.
And now in Wisconsin, there are six different networks of the National Honor Flight sectors. In Minnesota, there's five, and in Iowa, there's six also. Can you talk about what that's been like for the Cooley region and getting those vets on the plane? And then, Bob, and maybe we can get into your experience when you went on the Freedom Honor Flight.
It's been a wonderful experience. We were the first hub in Wisconsin. And so when we started this in 2008, our first flight was in October of 2008, we really were open to taking veterans from anywhere in Wisconsin and, for that matter, in southeastern Minnesota and northeastern Iowa. Fortunately, this has spread, and we've gotten hubs now in Madison and Wausau and Milwaukee and so forth. So this has really, really helped make it possible for a lot more people to go. But we have found that it's just an amazing experience, not just for the veteran, but for their families and for those of us that are involved in making it possible. The joy that we see in the veterans and their families really makes it worthwhile. And I truly believe that we're making a statement as a community. Service for others is not something that you're born with. You learn that by example. And I think when we say as a community together that we honor the veterans who fought in World War II, we're also saying we honor those men and women who have worn the uniform of this country in any time and place. And frankly, we also honor those who serve the community in other ways. Serving others, giving yourself for someone else, is something that we value as a community, and we celebrate that in part when we do something like Freedom Honor Flight.
And Bob, I'm wondering if you can describe that day, the day that you did, I think it was last October that you went out to Washington, D.C.
Yes, it was last October, and it was a great day. It really and truly was. I can't express to you how good I felt from the time we got up to the airport in the morning.
Which is pretty early. You have to get there pretty early,
5
right?
o'clock. Yeah, we had to get up there at 5 o'clock, and I couldn't believe the people that were out there to see us off. I don't know how many. There had to have been a couple of hundred people. And, you know, we had a nice breakfast. And, of course, we had to go through all the process of getting on an airplane, taking your shoes off the whole bit. but it was just a great, great send-off. There were people from Camp McCoy, Army people, who were there to send us off. A lot of local people, some I knew. And it was great. I think there were 90 of us on that
Probably close to 100.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's veterans and handlers, or
no,
100 veterans?
The plane actually holds 162, the ones that we're using right now. So that means about 100 veterans go because there's one guardian for every two veterans unless there's a special need.
Yeah.
Then we have a medical team. So there's a tremendous amount of logistics that go in to making this move smoothly.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a guardian, nice young lady. Thank you, Chuck. really a good gal. Stayed with us the whole day, made sure we didn't get in any trouble, I guess. The flight out there was uneventful, really, you know, the long flight. But then when we landed, it was at Dulles, wasn't it? At Dulles Airport in D.C. We get off the plane, and again, the reception, people greeting us, you know. Girls coming up and giving you hugs and kisses. You know, we didn't mind that at all. And guys shaking your hand and thanking you all day long. And then got out of the airport then, and there were buses waiting for us. And then we had an escort into central D.C., a motorcycle escort. Cops, and we just went flying down the aisle. And finally, first place we went to was the World War II monument.
And what was that like once you reached there?
Oh, wow. It really was just an incredible thing. And I sure recommend that to anybody. Did a beautiful job. I think one of the things that was so amazing about it, it's pretty big. A couple acres, I would say, anyway. It represents all of the various actions of the war. All of the states have some form of a monument. But the really impressive thing is that it's kind of laid down in them all. You know, it doesn't protrude and distract from any of the other aspects of them all. Here's the Capitol Building, Washington Monument, and Lincoln Memorial. It's just laid down, but it's beautiful, beautiful. Lots of memorial-type things, a huge eagle in a bell tower. It's beautiful. It's stunning. It really is.
And can you talk about maybe some of the conversations you had with fellow veterans while you were there, or maybe kind of the reflections going on within yourself?
Well, I think everyone felt they were in awe. About it, could hardly believe that it was happening.
I imagine it's pretty emotional.
It was. And as I said before, I was probably the youngest one on the whole trip because I was just 18 in 1945. So there were guys that were, you know, in their 90s already, you know, in 80s and 90s. You really felt for them. I think they were the ones that were really touched the most. I think we had six fellas on the plane that had oxygen tanks, you know, so they were not well, but they made the trip and were excited, very excited to do it.
And I'm sure just being all together and being there as one
is probably
a different experience than if you would have just gone on your own.
Right, yeah. And there were plenty of pictures taken. You know, we had group photos all over the place. Every time we went to some place, we'd have to smile and get our picture taken. Plus individuals, everybody had their own camera and taking your friends. And so you got a good memory of it, too.
And Chuck, what's it been like for you?
Well, it's been a wonderful experience for me. I have not gone physically on all the trips, but along with a very dedicated board and lots of volunteers, we've been involved with every single flight. And it's just very rewarding to see these veterans and how they respond to the recognition that they so justly deserve. You know, when they came home from World War II, they went back to their families, their farms, and their factories. They didn't have big ticker-tape parades and lots of hoopla and individual recognition. And they didn't ask for it. I mean, they weren't complaining, and they didn't complain when they went in, and they didn't complain when they came home. But I think the thank you really means something to them because they know it's heartfelt. And I think we all feel privileged that we can, in a very small way, help say thank you as sincerely as we can and embrace them as part of the community for what they did for us.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guest today is Chuck Hansen, who is the president of the Freedom Honor Flight, and he's joined with Bob Skemp, a attorney and a World War II veteran who has traveled on a Freedom Honor Flight. I know one of the goals of the Freedom Honor Flight is to get every single World War II veteran out to D.C. to see their memorial. Do you think that's possible, at least within the Cooley region?
I think that's going to be very difficult because we're dealing with a group of people who the demographics of it are that they're in there at the youngest side, about 84, and all the way up above that. The oldest person that we've took on a flight was 103 years old, and he passed away shortly after, within a number of months after the flight. There are about 6,000 World War II veterans still living in western Wisconsin and parts of southeastern Minnesota and northeastern Iowa. Now, we can only take 100 veterans per flight. We are averaging two flights a year. So the numbers just tell you that it's working against us. Now, there are a lot of other hubs. We cooperate with the hubs. We're doing everything we can to make it possible for people to go. But no, we're not going to be able to physically get everyone out there no matter how hard we try. People should know, though, that they should apply to go. A lot of veterans are reluctant to come. Some feel that, well, I wasn't in Patton's Third Army charging across Germany, so I don't deserve to go. But the truth of the matter is, what we tell people, and we believe this, when you're drafted, your fate is in the hands of the Army or the Navy or whoever has picked you up, and they can send you anywhere. So the courage and dedication of the individual soldier or sailor is never in question. It's just a matter of fate whether you happen to come in at a certain time or be sent to a certain place, and the thank you should be the same. And that's how we feel about that. But we do want to get people onto our website, which is www.freedomhonorflight.org, and you have to put Freedom Honor Flight to get our hub in the Cooley region. And if you go there, you'll see applications for the veteran and for guardian if you want to apply as a guardian. Help these veterans apply. If you're a daughter or a son or a grandson or granddaughter or a friend, print it off and fill it out for them and let them sign it and get it in, because we take first come, first serve unless the person is terminal. If somebody is certified by their doctor likely to die within a year, no matter what conflict they were involved with, whether it's World War II or Vietnam, that person comes to the head of the line. But do apply, and if it turns out when your name comes up and you can't make it, there's no harm. And this is free to the veteran. It does not cost them anything.
And Bob Skemp, you mentioned that you were accompanied by a friend to go on your trip. Did you then come back and encourage maybe other friends that had to go on a trip?
Yes, I did. Any number of veterans that, it was such a great experience. And I said to a couple guys, I said, oh, they didn't want to go. I said, you're crazy. I mean, it's such a great experience. You've got to do it. And I think some of them have then. Yeah.
And what's your number one selling point to the fellow veterans as to why they should go on?
Well, just generally, I repeat myself, it's a great experience. They had a great day. You're treated royally. I've never been treated so well, not even at home. I mean, it was great. It really was. Every aspect of it.
You know, if I could just add on to what Bob is saying here and just say thank you to so many people in the listening area here in the greater La Crosse area, because it takes a lot of money to make these planes fly. And we've said as long as we've got the contributions coming in, we're going to keep the planes flying. And everybody's been very generous in difficult times to make those planes fly. And then you've got all the volunteers that are cooperating to make this happen. This is logistically, if you can imagine the population we're dealing with and coordinating it and organizing it and getting it to go, hopefully they see it as pretty seamless. It's a good day and it goes smoothly. And they don't realize that there are hundreds of hours that have gone into the preparation and planning. And I want to say thank you to the volunteers, the board of directors and the volunteers, because they have really done a great job in making it possible.
No, Chuck, I disagree. We did realize what was involved in this. When we got to the airport, you could just see. And that whole day, there was, you know, every minute was taken care of, and the people constantly, we thank you. Thank you so much. I was telling Maureen here before you came that my wife and I were on a cruise last fall, after the experience. And we got at a table one night on the boat, and there were two couples there. And both of those guys had been on an honor flight. And they were from Ohio, you know. And what an entree that was to have this discussion, and everybody agreed. Everybody agreed. Yeah, it's great.
And Chuck, you mentioned that right now the priority for Freedom Honor Flights is to World War II veterans and also to those who are terminally ill, veterans who have served in other wars. At what point will you start looking at maybe the Korean War, the Vietnam War, even, you know, moving into Iraq and Afghanistan?
We plan to offer flights in order of the conflict. So the next conflict would be the Korean War. And depends on who's on the plane. For example, we will take some Korean War veterans now on an airplane if there's not World War II veterans that have signed up. That's why I say to the World War II veterans or family members that may be listening, sign up so that we can accommodate you. Because once we've given the slot to somebody, we're not going to take them off the plane because somebody at the last minute came forward and said, you know, I'm willing to go. That's not fair. But the priority goes to World War II because of age, and then we're going to move to Korea and then on up. We'd like to make sure that everybody gets a chance to go to Washington and be honored for their service.
And what else? How else do you see the future of this program? Would you like to add more flights? You know, I guess funding provided.
Well, funding is certainly an issue, and then I think you have to realize that it's all done by volunteers. And there is only so many hours in a day and so many days in a week. And it would be very difficult for us on a sustained basis to have, let's say, three flights a year, given what people have to give up to make these two flights go. If we had the volunteer support for it and we had the financial resources, we would do it. But I think that what we're finding right now, given the resources we have, the two flights a year are about what we can handle. Some people have said, well, why don't you use larger airplanes? Well, the first airplane we used was a 757, which was a larger aircraft. We've thought about 747s. The problem with a 747 is you've got so many people at once that you have magnified the problem. Our listeners probably are, for the most part, people who travel, and they get around just fine. We are dealing with people who either need to be in a wheelchair, or once they've been out and about for a while, they need to be in a wheelchair. They have special medical needs. It's a pretty intense program in terms of how we try to care for them and watch after them while they're out there. We take that responsibility very seriously, and there becomes an upper limit in terms of what is manageable when you get out there and you're moving around the different monuments.
Bob Skemp, do you have any final thoughts on the Freedom Honor Flight or anything you'd like us to take away from it?
You know, we talked about how we went to the World War II Memorial, but from there we went to the Lincoln Memorial. And from there we went to the Vietnam Memorial. And from there we went to the Korean War Memorial. So we really saw an awful lot. And then we had a nice tour of downtown, up by the Capitol and down past the White House. And what can I say? It was beautiful. Yeah.
And Chuck, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about the organization?
Well, I would like the listeners to know that, number one, we look to you to help us get those veterans to Washington, D.C. by letting us know who's out there and helping them fill out those applications. For those who want to help us, we are a 501(c) tax-exempt organization, and your gifts and donations would be receive favorable tax treatment under the current laws. You can go to our website at freedomhonorflight.org, and you can also make a contribution using your credit card right on our website if that's easier for people. Or you can send in a check to the address that would be listed right there on the website. And finally, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to the community. Thank you to all the volunteers, and especially thank you to our World War II vets and all the men and women who have served our country. We deeply appreciate that service.
Chuck Hansen is president of Freedom Honor Flight, based in La Crosse, an organization that flies military veterans from La Crosse to Washington, D.C. for the day, visiting the war monuments. He was joined by Bob Skemp, a World War II vet who took the trip last fall. The next flight will be held in about a week. More information about the program is available on the group's website, freedomhonorflight.org. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Stroob, John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau, as well as network news from Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR. If you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.